Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Let's bow our hearts and let's ask God's blessing upon the sharing of His Word this morning. Once again, Heavenly Father, we bless Your holy name for the good things that You have done. We thank You, God, for this sacred time that we have to look to Your Word. And as we've come here together today, we pray for Your anointing to be upon us as we look to Your Word. Anoint this speaker, we pray, and every hearer here. And may we, God, know You in a deeper way through faith. In Your holy name we pray this morning. Amen. Amen. Praise God. As I mentioned before, for the past few weeks we've been discussing the importance of God's anointing or the touch of the Holy Spirit upon believers for ministry. The anointing, as we discussed, is of something that gives us great personal blessing or great personal benefit. But we see one of the reasons and the primary reason for the anointing or the touch of God's Holy Spirit upon our lives is for service. We talked a few weeks ago how the anointing was critical as far as our service to the Lord in worship. The book of John chapter 4 verse 24 says God is spirit, and them that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, there's nothing wrong with you and I worshiping God in our flesh. But it's also important to not only worship God with our flesh, but also worship God with our spirits, which is to say to worship Him with His touch, His power, His anointing upon our lives. Once again, if you remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the Apostle Paul said regarding the act of praise, I will sing with my mind, but I will also sing with my spirit. Then we talked a few weeks ago about the necessity for the anointing as far as our responsibility to minister to one another, to minister to the church. We need the anointing. We cannot manufacture spiritual gifts, words of prophecy or knowledge, gifts of healings, miracles, and things to the like. And although we might be able to read the Word of God, and although we might be able to formulate in our minds logical arguments and teachings regarding the Word of God, for the ministry of the Word, which is a critical element of you and I sharing or ministering or serving one another, in order for it to be truly powerful and effective, it must have the touch of the Holy Spirit upon it. Or rather than it, we must have the touch of the Holy Spirit upon us. I remember one of my teachers in Bible school, Brother Pierce, I don't think he's at Zion anymore, but one of the things he would always drill into us in our homiletics or our preaching class is that God anoints preachers, not sermons. Amen? He anoints people, not messages. These are just words, but it's the vessel that gives the word, and it's the vessel that needs the anointing. But we also talked about how yes, we know we need the anointing for preaching and for teaching and definitely for the miraculous, for gifts of healings and things of that nature. But we also need, according to the Word of God, the anointing for those general acts of kindness and service. Jesus telling us that giving a cup of water, for it to truly be something that can be blessed and used by God, even the simple act of giving a cup of water requires the anointing to be powerful and effective. And this morning I'd like to take a few moments and talk about the necessity of the anointing for the ministry to the lost or in the capacity of evangelism. sharing Christ with other people. As we mentioned a few moments ago in talking about the anointing, you might not have been here for the message, although they are on our church website, or if you need, we can provide for you a CD of the other messages regarding this topic. But what the anointing is the touch of God's Holy Spirit upon our lives. And as we saw in our text this morning, we took a little look at that a few weeks ago, and we saw the anointing. Reading Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. It's not just a power for no purpose or reason that rests for no reason on people. It is something that God sends personally upon people who serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It is something that's powerful, that's able to do great things. And the anointing, above and beyond all those things, is for a purpose: to declare Jesus Christ to the world and also to others. And the anointing is essential if we are to share Jesus in a powerful and effective way. How does the anointing affect evangelism? Well, in one way, the anointing, as far as evangelism, is necessary because it touches us in our hearts. Specifically, what the anointing or the touch of the Holy Spirit does in regards to sharing Jesus Christ with others is that it places passion for the lost and boldness to stand up for Christ in the most important organ or part or aspect of our being that's necessity for evangelism, that being the heart. And I'm not talking about the human heart, although, of course, the human heart is necessary. If it's not pumping, you won't be a very good witness for Jesus. Maybe some people say some nice things about you. But in order for anyone to do something, not just halfway, not just adequately, but well, a person must have a heart that's wholly into what they're doing. This relates to anything in life. This relates to your job. If you want to be successful in your job, you can't approach your job half-heartedly. In fact, if you don't like or even love what you do, you'll never rise above that level of mediocrity. Your heart has to be wholly into it. Same thing as far as marriage. Marriage is great. Marriage is wonderful. And at the beginning, it can be firecrackers and all those wonderful things. But sometimes those things die down. And I don't mean to discourage anyone who might be getting married this summer. Carrie's turned a little red, but that's all right. I don't want to pick on her at all. Yeah, that's right. Maybe I'll preach on marriage for a few minutes, but another time, another day. I'm sure they do a lot of that at school. Hopefully they do. But marriage requires you putting all of your effort into it in order to make it work. Because both husband and wife are imperfect. It can only become perfect when Christ is in the middle. And I testify that not just because of my knowledge of the Word of God, but because of that experience in my life and my marriage. And what the anointing does, it helps us to put our hearts where our heart needs to be in this very important aspect of our ministry, sharing Jesus. One of the things that the disciples of Jesus marveled at was his zeal for his Father's kingdom. John chapter 2, verse 17 says, his disciples remembered when they saw Jesus go into the temple and turn over the tables of the money changers. They remembered, and he did this with such a zealousness, or such a passion or desire. They remembered that scripture from the Old Testament, zeal for your house will consume me. And so when Jesus ministered, he was not dispassionate. He was someone who did what he did because of a passion for his heavenly Father and seeing his heavenly Father established on this earth. And this passion that Jesus Christ possessed was not something simply he had for himself and then took with him to heaven, but is something that he sent with the Holy Spirit through the anointing to his disciples, the apostles. We see this in their lives and in their ministry, that despite the difficulties that they faced in life, despite the temptations that they have, and even though you might know Christ as your Savior, in this life you will still face temptation, although through Christ we can overcome. Through the weariness of life, they persevered. Why? Because the zeal that consumed the Lord Jesus Christ also consumed them through the power or the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And we need that today, don't we? Especially in the days that we live in. Life is a lot different than it was just a few short years ago. It's gotten more difficult. We worry now about terrorism, where when growing up, I never gave two thoughts towards that. We worry now about the economy. People whose futures, whose retirements and investments seem to be set and secure and there'd be no problem are now on shaky ground. In fact, there's much worry today, and that's another thing that we need to continue to pray for our nation's economy. Not just that God would fix our economy and that everyone would be happy, but that God would be glorified in it as well, above and beyond. Amen? Amen. But with everything going on, no one's sure if they're going to have a job tomorrow, or if they're going to have their investments tomorrow, if they're going to be able to make their mortgage payment or their car payment or be able to put their children through school. We can get so caught up in these things that we lose our zeal. But that's where the anointing comes in. See, the anointing is not something natural, so it's not dependent upon natural circumstances. I don't have to look to something in this life in a tangible sense that can help me keep going for Jesus. I continue to be an encouraging light and witness for Jesus, not because of a lot of money in my pocket or everything going great in my life, but because of the power of God's Holy Spirit resting upon me. That's the power of the anointing. It keeps us zealous for the things of God. Despite the difficulties, the temptations we might face, despite the weariness of life. But the difficulties of life were only part of the adversity that the apostles faced. They also faced fear. There was a real and present danger that these new ministers faced in preaching and proclaiming Jesus. The religious leaders who conspired and delivered Jesus to Pilate to have him executed. Of course, Jesus rising again. But they were still in power. And they were able to do to each one of them what they were successful in doing against the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that one of the things that the apostles struggled with as the church began to grow and as they faced persecution was the aspect of fear. Reading two scriptures from Acts chapter 4, verse 29. The apostles, after they were threatened by this same Sanhedrin, by this same ruling body that put Christ to death and was threatening their lives as well, they cried out to God and listened to their prayer. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Why did they pray for boldness? Well, why do you pray for the things that you pray for in your life? If you have plenty of money, do you pray for money? If you have good health, do you pray for healing? No, absolutely not. If you have boldness, do you pray for boldness? they were struggling with fear. They knew that fear could stop them short from doing what the Lord had called them to do. And so they took it to the Lord in prayer, and they asked God through the power of His anointing to give them boldness or supernatural courage to stand up and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, no matter what the consequences. And God not only heard, but He also answered their prayer. Verse 31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. The Holy Spirit, despite grave circumstances, can you imagine what was going through their minds? What if we're all put to death? Who will be left to tell people about Jesus? Maybe we could do it in secret. Or you know, at least we could privately, you know, keep our families close to Christ. What if we die? Others will become discouraged and might give up. But instead of following fear's way, they chose to seek God for boldness and serve God in this area of witnessing or proclaiming Christ God's way. And God gave them the boldness to continue to do what He called them to do in the name of Jesus. And we need courage today in preaching Christ. And in this country, of course, we're for the most part free to tell other people about our faith. And I know there's some infringement upon that, but bless God, we have so many more freedoms than many other places in the world. Amen? And we thank God for that. It's something that we need to cherish and make sure we never lose. But I don't have to worry about sharing Christ at the supermarket with my neighbors, that someone's going to haul me away. But we still do face fear. We face ostracism from our friends and from our families. In fact, I know some people in family situations that they're the only one who chooses not only to know Christ, but to honor Christ. And because of stands that they're making in their homes, their family has made their life very difficult. Maybe not in a physical sense, but an emotional sense. And we can see that in any aspect of life. And the threat is the same. There's a temptation for us to cave into intimidation, to give in to fear. But bless God, through the anointing of God's Holy Spirit, we can continue, even in the face of adversity, of persecution, of loss, to boldly proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He is the only way, the truth, and the life, which is what, whether people want to hear or not, people need to hear in Jesus' name. But boldness is only a part of the anointing as it relates to evangelism or sharing Christ with Jesus. In fact, boldness is not something that Pentecostal people have too much of a problem with. We kind of know that. You know, that's one of the things, we may not always operate in that, but that's one of the things we're very comfortable with. But there's other things related to the anointing, specifically in as it relates to evangelism, manifests in our lives as we allow God's Holy Spirit to touch us. Reading Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 15 through 18. And this is Mark's rendition of the Great Commission. We see one of the necessities of evangelism is that of the miraculous, or the moving of God's Holy Spirit. Reading Mark 16, verses 15 through 18, He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In My name they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. Now, there's some interesting things in this scripture. Number one, this scripture, as far as talking about our mandate from God to share Christ with others, shares with us the most central, important part of that, telling people about Christ, the message of salvation. But right along with that is also the accompaniment of the miraculous or the supernatural. Now, when we think of the miraculous, we often think of it as a church in the context of God moving in a worship service. We talked about it a couple weeks ago when we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and looked at the ministry of spiritual gifts, how those gifts of healings and of gifts of utterance and gifts of knowledge, how all those things God has placed within the body or the church for the church to minister or to serve one another. But the miraculous is not just something according to the Word of God for the church. It's something God desires to demonstrate to people who do not know Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. Look at the example of the disciples. They moved in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, as he walked this earth, what did he do? He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out demons. And to whom did he do those things to? Those who knew Christ or those who did not know Christ. They didn't even know who he was. They thought he was a great teacher. They just wanted to come out and be healed. And in the process of hearing what Jesus said and also seeing what he did, people came to the conclusion that Jesus was the Son of God. And not only did Jesus do those things, the disciples then afterwards, not only under the guidance of Jesus as he was here, but in the book of Acts, after Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father, they healed the sick, they raised the dead, they cast out demons. And once again, not just to people who did not know Christ, or people who we might call seekers, but to people who were unbelievers as well in Jesus' name. Now, I'm not saying that the miraculous is a substitute for the gospel, for the message of Jesus Christ. And I'm not even saying that the miraculous, healings and signs and wonders, as described in Mark chapter 16, is something that's equal to the Word. The Word is essential and necessary for people to come to Christ, and many people come to Christ without the miraculous. But you cannot come to Christ without the Word of God. But an essential part of gospel ministry, as the Lord Jesus Christ intended, nonetheless, is that of the supernatural. If it was not so, Jesus would not have said those words to his disciples as he was commissioning them to tell others about him. Now, what does that mean to us? As far as you and I in reaching people, both as a church and individually, if our efforts are to be effective, if we're truly to be anointed by God, the miraculous must accompany our evangelism. Now, I want to say something, and as I say this, I don't want to make it seem like I'm speaking ill of evangelists or pastors or the miraculous in church services. I would never do that, because when God moves, whether it's in a service or out in the street, that's God moving. But I think sometimes there's a misconception regarding how the Holy Spirit moves, in that many people in the body of Christ think the Holy Spirit moves at the end of a service. It's something that evangelists do with microphones after they finish preaching and for everyone to see. Now, that does happen, and I'm not saying anything against those things, and I bless God for those things. But when God moves in a supernatural fashion, it's not just when we're together, and it's not just by certain people. It should be by everyone and everywhere. And I think it's something that we need to pursue and give opportunity to as we witness Christ to others. Not just sharing Jesus, but giving God an opportunity to work miraculously in people's lives. Now how do we do that? Are we to go out with a microphone and our ties and whatnot? Not saying that at all. But one of the simple ways that we can give an opportunity for God to do something miraculous in someone's life and in our interaction with them is just to offer to pray for that person. When we hear a need, rather than saying, "Oh, that's too bad, I feel very sorry for you," to say, "Would you mind if I shared that need with my church and that we would pray for that need and perhaps God would do something in your life?" Or maybe even going one step further and saying, "Would you like to pray right now together and ask God to work a miracle in your life or God to do something?" You don't even have to use, sometimes, you know, we have to be careful in sharing with people who do not know Jesus. Not to use too much Christianese, but to use words that we say commonly in church but are not commonly used outside of the church. We need to pray. And not just God can do some things. There have been many instances where God has done things in people's lives when they said, "We will pray for you." And let me tell you, it's not just good enough to hear someone have a need and then take that need to God in prayer. And I'm not saying God will not honor your prayer. But what is the goal in someone's life in their need? Is it just so that need would go away and they'd feel a little bit better about themselves or that they would find Christ? It's important to tell them and to let them know that we are praying for them because that is what gives an opportunity for people to realize that, hey, There is something about this. I may not understand it, but there's something about this person's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to make opportunity. Sometimes, regarding the miraculous, we need to take a leap of faith. You know, if we're truly people who are filled by the Holy Spirit, and the Bible says we need to be people who are led by the Holy Spirit. And you know what? That means as far as things like the word of knowledge, and for those of you who might not know what the word of knowledge is, it's when the Holy Spirit tells you something that is not openly known, could be regarding some type of issue or something in someone's life. You know, the people that you live with, your family, the people that you work with, the people that you meet out on the street, they might have their happy face on, where it looks like on the outside, everything is doing great and everything is okay. But on the inside, they're dying and they're hurting. They're going through maybe a divorce or they just found out about a sickness in their lives or their family's lives or they're facing, you know, some type of financial thing or issue with their child. You know, the list goes on and on. And they will never tell you. Well, you know, they might be able to hide their need and their hurt from you, but there's one person they can't hide their hurt and need from, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, not only does God know about that need, God might want to touch that need in their lives so that they might be set free from that need and that they somehow, some way through that, might find Christ as well in Jesus' name. And guess what? Not only will he do that, but he's not going to tell me, especially if I'm not going to meet or see that person. He's going to use you. You are God's instrument. You are God's servant. He wants to use you. The problem is that is a big step of faith to say to that person, whether you know them well or not, that, hey, are you going through a financial thing? Or last night, were you considering suicide? And yes, we need to use wisdom and bless God before you ever say anything. Pray for wisdom. The Bible says God will give it. But if the Holy Spirit is revealing a need in someone's life to you, it's not for you just to sit upon that need. It's so that you can be used by God to minister to that need to His glory. And so, when those opportunities come, just like the scrawny kid on the 12-foot-high diving board saying, "I might not make it, I might, but bless God, I'm going to jump off anyways. Make that leap of faith. Don't be afraid to make a mistake. Everyone makes mistakes. But give God an opportunity to do the miraculous in Jesus' name. Why? Will the miraculous save? No. The word, the message of Christ saves. But when God does something in someone's life, something supernatural that undeniably is of God, what does it do? It gets people thinking, wait a minute. This person prayed, and this thing became better. I don't know all about what is going on, and I don't know all about what they might believe in or not believe in, but maybe there is something to this prayer. Maybe there is something to the Bible. Maybe there is something to Jesus. Maybe there is something that this person is into. And so, maybe I need to take a closer look at this. And in doing so, open up one's heart to a greater ministry of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, regarding the anointing. Necessity of the anointing is not just so that we have boldness, that we be able to stand up for what God has called us to do. And it's not only that we be supernaturally empowered. Let me tell you one last thing. I digress just for a moment. The anointing, as far as the aspect of the supernatural, it is the one thing that separates us. I know our message is different. I'm not saying that. But the miraculous is one thing that separates us from every other religion or belief that's out in the world. There are a lot of beliefs out there, a lot of philosophies, a lot of ways that people can live. There's only one that is confirmed through signs and wonders, and that's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's not be afraid of it. Let's embrace it in Jesus' name. But thirdly, the anointing is necessary because the anointing wounds the heart. The anointing wounds the heart. Anointed evangelism does more than just speak to the mind. You know, a lot of people can do that. It does more than move the emotion. I could come up here and I could read you a gut-wrenching story about some trial or tribulation that someone has gone through, and it can move you to tears. But just because someone can speak to you mentally or someone can speak to your emotion does not mean it will affect you spiritually and move you to a place of faith. The only way we can truly move someone through our message to a place of faith in Christ is through the power of the Holy Spirit. The first sermon that Peter preached, the people who heard that message were wounded in their hearts. Acts 2:37 says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? They had no reason to accept Peter as a preacher. He was an ignorant fisherman. He was a follower of a man who did some mighty things but was now dead and gone. At least he was in the minds of many people. Yet this man gets up, starts shouting amidst people who thought they were drunk. You don't believe me? Read the book of Acts chapter 2. These men are filled with new wine, which meant it was very strong, very potent. Yet when Peter preached those words, they were moved to the place of decision, and 3,000 of those people personally accepted Christ as their Savior. Why? It was because the anointing of God, the Holy Spirit, was upon them, and the Spirit of God touched the hearts of those who heard that word. The anointing touches the heart. The anointing helps people to understand about humility, about who Jesus is. The anointing makes the impossible. Confronting individuals with their sin and their need for the Lord Jesus Christ, which the Bible it says that message is foolishness. The anointing makes the impossible possible. Now, on the other side of that, the anointing is also something that moves people to persecution. Some people will accept the anointing, or some people will be touched by God's Holy Spirit and accept Jesus. In both Acts chapter 5 and Acts chapter 7, individuals, they were cut to the heart too. But they didn't accept Jesus. They became angry with the movement of Christ and began to persecute followers of Jesus. These were the religious leaders. These were the same men who conspired to put Jesus Christ to death. But bless God, this is why the anointing is so critical. I'm not saying that that's the desired result, but for that message to touch even their hearts, says it was more than just a message from man. It was something for God. And let me tell you, and this is one important thing that we need to understand regarding evangelism, even anointed evangelism. You may be the most anointed person on the planet. That does not mean everyone will accept what you say and become a committed follower or believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. All that it says is that you, if you are anointed by God, you have given someone a genuine opportunity to receive Him. Because you have not just spoken to their minds, you have not just spoken to their hearts, you have spoken to their spirit, to the deepest part of their being. And so the anointing is necessary because that's the only way someone can truly get or get a true witness of who Jesus Christ is. Now, how do we live in this anointing? We've been talking about this the past few weeks, but let me just share two things as it relates to the anointing and sharing Christ or the anointing and evangelism. Number one, we need to be prepared. In Paul's closing words to Timothy before he was executed for Christ, he said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Number one, if we want to be anointed, or if we want the touch of the Holy Spirit upon our lives, we need to be prepared. And when I say that, we need to be prepared every day, all the time. Like for Sunday, those of you who teach on Sunday, I preach on Sunday, or those of you who teach and preach on Wednesday, you need to be anointed for those times, obviously. We talked about that. And so I'm sure that you study hard and you pray hard that God would touch you and bless you. You know, God says we should do that. But God says we should approach every day that way because we don't know when we'll be called upon to share Christ with someone or even minister to another believer in His name. Look, you know, we looked at Acts chapter 4. I didn't read the scripture, but the beginning of that chapter, Acts chapter 2, excuse me, beginning of that chapter, Peter and John went to the temple to pray. They weren't going to share Christ with anyone. They just wanted to pray. And as they prayed, they met a crippled man who was begging and who reached out to them. And they didn't have any money. And you know how the account goes. I don't have any silver. I don't have any gold. But what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. And the man walked. They didn't know they were going to meet that man. They might have known, but they didn't know that opportunity was going to be there that day, but they were prepared. You don't know what opportunities you're going to have. If you want to be anointed, you need to be prepared. That means every day we need to walk closely with the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day. You don't know what's going to happen in your family. It's not what I wanted to preach about this morning, but don't be caught, forgive the expression, with your pants down. Spiritually speaking, I'm saying that in all seriousness. As a pastor, you don't know what's going to be on the other end of the phone when you pick up the phone. I remember once someone called me. You know what happened? What? I'm divorcing my husband today. Another call, a tragic death in the family. I didn't have any warning. that I was going to be God's man to minister to that person. I needed to be ready then. I needed to be in tune with God's Holy Spirit then. It was upon me. And if I wasn't prepared, I had nothing to give them other than a few words and sympathies, which I'm sure they would have appreciated, but was far less than God would have intended. And you receive those calls too. Not you will receive, you have received those calls too, haven't you? And you know what? We're all called to be ministers of the gospel. Not just me and not just deacons. We're all called. Especially mothers and fathers, husbands and wives. You're the spiritual leaders in your home. You're going to get calls from your children. You're going to get calls from your brothers and your sisters. You'll even get calls from your parents if you're walking more closely with the Lord. You need to be ready. You don't know what's going to be unleashed. Walk closely with Jesus. Because some opportunities don't last very long and they're gone. Secondly, we need to be properly motivated. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says, if anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Also, 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. One of the things that we need to understand, if we truly want to be anointed or touched by God's Holy Spirit, is that it's not about us. It's about the Lord. You know, when we're young, and when I mean young in Christ, a lot of things as it relates to ministry is about us. You know, how good we can do. And admit it, we've all been there. And I hope I did good. I hope people appreciated what I had to say. And we think of ministry in terms of us. But the anointing is not about us. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is about Jesus. And if we're of the mindset it's about us, and what we do, we really hinder God's willingness to touch us with His Holy Spirit. But when it's not about us, all we want to do, we don't care if people recognize us or not. We don't care if people think that we're spiritual giants or not. All we care about is people drawing closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. True humility. Then we become those open and pleasing vessels for God to fill with the anointing of His Holy Spirit. I'd like to ask our musicians to come this morning. And as they come and as they begin to play softly, I'd like to ask everyone to stand in Jesus' name. And, you know, one of the critical needs of the church, and this is our church included, is the need to become more evangelistic. It's a need because so many people need Christ. But it's a need because in many of our churches, and as pastor, I say it's a matter in our church. It's not an area that we excel in, that we are where we should be as far as serving Jesus. And I know in relation to things, we're trying to get back up on our feet, and one of the things that we need to strive to do as a church in a better fashion is being able to minister to each other. That we get our eyes off of ourselves and our eyes on our brothers and sisters. As I mentioned before, we can't effectively minister to lost people if we're not effectively ministering or serving or blessing each other. But we need to have that vision for those beyond these four walls. And that needs to grow in our church, in Jesus' name. And I'm not saying it's not here. I know many of you are concerned for people who don't know Christ, both people that you know and people that you don't know. But God wants us to be more than concerned. God wants us to pray, but He wants us to do more than pray. God wants us to be His evangelists. In Jesus' name. And so we're going to pray as a group this morning in the name of Jesus that God would give us a more fervent heart for His anointing, not just His anointing to worship, as we need that, and not just His anointing to share with one another and to serve one another, because we desperately need that, but an anointing upon this church body to share the light of Jesus, the zeal, the perseverance, the signs, the wonders, the weighty words that strike the heart. We need all of those things in a greater fashion. In Jesus' precious name, let's pray this morning. Father, we thank You so much. We thank You, God, that You laid it all on the line for us. And that, Lord Jesus, You gave Your life on Calvary that we might be forgiven of every sin. And that we might have the assurance of eternal life in Jesus' name. And God, You have given us this great gift in the holy name of Jesus for us not only to receive, although You love us each personally and have invited us personally to live with You, put our faith and our trust in You. But You also, God, have shared this message and have shared Your love with us so that we in kind might share it with others. In Jesus' name. God, send Your anointing to evangelize, to minister to the lost in the holy name of Jesus. Birth within each and every one of us a new zeal for Your kingdom. Birth within each and every one of us, and renew in some cases, God, a holy boldness to stand up and testify for Christ, no matter what the cost is to us personally, in Jesus' name. God, may we be not ashamed nor afraid to step out in faith and to believe You for the miraculous, not only in the life of a trusted believer, but also in the life of someone who has no idea who You are. Someone who thinks the Bible is just a book of lies and fairy tales, made up stories. God, help us to be bold and to seize that opportunity and to make opportunity for Your Holy Spirit to minister miraculously, even in the hearts and lives of those who doubt. In Jesus' name. God, above all, give us words that cut to the heart in the name of Jesus of all, God, that we come in contact with. Whether it makes them glad or whether it makes them mad, God, anoint our words, we pray, in the name of Jesus, so that, God, Your name would be glorified and that everyone would have a genuine opportunity to personally receive Jesus Christ as their Savior.